music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Thank you. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks so much for being here for our service today. We are overjoyed to have some of our school families here and students to share the gift of music with us. And wanted to remind you this morning of the amazing love which God has shown to all of us, not only in everything that he provides for us each and every day, which is so easy to take for granted, but also in his love through the message of the gospel and the Holy Scriptures that tells us of his love through the cross and resurrection of Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary. We're blessed to celebrate that together, to be together this morning, to hear God's word and receive the gifts of his word, and also just to have some fun singing some songs. And you've come on a special day as well, because we also are planning to install some of our teachers from our school today. So we thank the Lord for that as well. And also we do have a new member to receive into our congregation today as well. So overjoyed to be here. Thanks so much for making time to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Our service for this morning is also per normal on the radio live. So we welcome all those that are tuned in listening to our service on KSBK this morning. Thanks for joining us that way. Wish you the Lord's blessings too. Our service begins today by opening up our hymnals in front of us and turning to hymn number 686, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And we sing that together this morning. When we get to the last verse of that hymn, we do invite you to stand on that last verse as we begin our service. Let's sing together hymn 686. Thank you. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive our Lord's gifts from his precious word this morning. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your word. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with our introit this morning. It's from Psalm 119. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your just decrees are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. We continue with our Kyrie sung together this morning. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace, that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We begin here with verse 1. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over Calneh and see, and from here and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence, woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we've got some children in our service this morning. We invite them up here to the front to be seated in the front pews, and we'll have our children's message. You can sit in the back row. Just go to the next row back, guys. That's great. Just squeeze on in there.
That's a lot of them today, huh?
There's a few. Scooch, scooch, scooch. Wonderful to have you guys here. If everybody's feeling awesome this morning, raise their hand, guys. Are you guys feeling awesome this morning? I'm feeling pretty awesome. I'm excited that you guys are here in church with us. Okay, you can put your hands down. Yeah, so great to see all of you. I kind of feel like we're doing chapel right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've got the guitar over there for some singing later, and here you guys are in the pews sitting here. So wonderful. So wonderful. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Can anybody tell me the first commandment? The first commandment. Go. You forgot it? Oh, that's okay. Danica? Oh, good job. You shall have no other gods before me. You guys want to say that with me real quick? You shall have no other gods before me. Excellent job. Excellent job. What do you think that means when we say God's commandment, you shall have no other gods before me? What are we saying? Do not worship idols. Exactly.
Even a special rock that Jesus' donkey.
Even a special rock that Jesus' donkey stepped on, which is what I used as a prop a few weeks ago. Good memory. And I used a sword last week. You're right. That was my object lesson for last week was my sword. Yeah. Well, we talked about that last week. This week I want to talk about what that commandment means. You shall have no other gods before me. Why would God need to say that to us? Excellent answer. So we could worship him instead of anybody else, right? Or instead of anything else. See, because one of the things that we don't realize is that when we give our blood, sweat, and tears, our strength and our energy to other things in life, it is kind of a form of worship. And so God wants us to always know that the reason we exist and the reason he created us is to serve him. And the amazing thing about Jesus rising from the grave and ascending into heaven is that Jesus himself, he's made all things new. So everything that we normally would do in our life, all of our jobs and all of our playing and all of our schoolwork and everything that we do can be service to him now. So we go about all those tasks for God and to serve him and his kingdom, not to look for other things to worship, right? But to worship God by doing everything that we do in our life. This is one of the greatest blessings of our Christian faith, is that now every single thing we go about doing, we can do for the Lord. We can love our moms and dads and love our brothers and sisters and even play with them and do fun stuff. We can do all those things for Jesus. That's the blessing that he gave us when he did the most important thing in the world for us. Can you guys tell me what that was? He died on the cross for our sins. Yeah. He won us that awesome ability to go about our lives and our vocations and serve him in all that we do. And that's freedom. That's freedom for us as believers to love God and to always serve him and to not have any other gods before him, right? Because he is the one true God. And that is an awesome, awesome thing for us. Yeah, would you guys fold your hands with me and bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll have a prayer, okay? If the kids want to repeat after me, they can. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all your blessings, for your commandments, for your love, and for your forgiveness. Help us do all that we do in service to you, because you lived to serve us. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome, guys. You can go back to your seats now. Thanks for coming up. We continue now with our epistle lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're on the bottom of page 5 in the bulletin. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation now to please stand, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Written that you may believe that Jesus.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, who covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time in the service, we invite you to join us in confessing our Christian faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for today? It's hymn number 905. Come, Thou Almighty King. mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Funny question this morning. I wonder if somebody asked you what the biggest problem in the world right now was, how you would answer that question. If you have the news on at night, if you're scrolling through the phone, it's not very long of that kind of activity before you start seeing the problems. Am I right? They pop up everywhere all the time. And I wondered, in regards to that question, what do you think the Bible would say is the biggest problem in the world today? Now you might think, that's an easy one in church, Pastor, right? That's an easy one. It's sin, right? Sin's the biggest problem in the world. Oh, it's close. It's close. But no cigar there, right? Biggest problem in the world, according to the Bible, unbelief. Unbelief. Anytime we do not trust in God above all things, unbelief is the source of so much sin and evil in our world. We could even say unbelief is the source of all of it. Think about the book of Genesis with me for a second. Adam and Eve sinned when they ate of the forbidden fruit in the garden, but what came first before that sin but temptation and then an unbelief in God's promises and commandments? And then the eating, that unbelief coming literally from the mouth of the serpent, the evil one, and his temptation to doubt God is what took place. And for this reason, God begins the Ten Commandments, like we heard this morning with the kids in the children's sermon, that we should have no other gods before him. That's a commandment speaking about unbelief. And that's why if we break any of the Ten Commandments, that simultaneously, maybe without knowing it, we're also breaking the first commandment. Because if I were to bear false witness, if I were to covet my neighbor's house, if I were to steal something and be a thief, I would be doing any of those things because I didn't, what? Fear, love, and trust in God Almighty to provide the things that I need. That's the only reason I would covet. It's the only reason I would steal. It's the only reason I would bear false witness, is because I don't trust enough in God. And the biggest problem then with the biggest problem in the world, unbelief, is that there's no earthly cure really for this. There's no amount of persuasion, there's no amount of coercion or convincing or application of the threats of the law that can really remedy this problem. No psychology, no medications, no counseling theory, no psychiatric treatment or surgery can even touch this malady for 1 second. There's only one cure for unbelief. And that's what was said so wonderfully from the children's sermon this morning. The word of the gospel. That Jesus died on the cross. And then do you remember the rest of what she said, if you could hear? For our forgiveness. This is the cure for unbelief. It's not just any cure. It's God's cure. He wants us to see clearly and plainly from the cross of Jesus that God is not against us, and that your life and my life is not a performance before God. It's not something we're engaging in to try to show God who we are, how great we are. But instead, it's something, our life, into which God pours his blessings through the gospel. In our text from Luke 16, Abraham, He already knew that there was no earthly cure for unbelief, and that the gospel would be the only medicine that would work. The rich man, though, down as he speaks, I mean, what an account that is, right? The rich man speaking from what the text calls Hades. And he begs for someone to go to his brothers and warn them. But Abraham makes the point. If God's word and the warnings of the scriptures and the true statements of the gospel on the pages of Moses and the prophets are not enough, then even if someone comes back from the dead, they wouldn't listen to him either. Why? It's unbelief. It's rejecting the gifts of Christ. And it doesn't make any sense to those of us who believe. Unbelief is senseless. It's blind and it perceives not. As the scriptures will tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural person cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, because they're spiritually discerned. Why can they not perceive the things of the Spirit of God? Unbelief. Which means Abraham was right. And it's true in our world today as well. We cannot convince, we cannot persuade, we cannot coerce anyone into believing in Jesus. Salvation is not just one decision away. There's a great chasm that's been fixed between unbelief and faith. It's the chasm that Abraham was talking about in our text. And we mere mortals cannot cross it. There's no way to go from one side to the other on our own. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about, me or you. We cannot make one hair on our head, according to Jesus, really white or really black. We have no power to save ourselves. And yet the world is screaming to us all the time that we are the ones in control. That your life is up to you, and you're the master of your destiny, and whatever happens will be because of your hard work and your effort and your stress and your anxiety and mine. But if we really stop and look at some of those things, a lot of those messages that we're hearing, they're not really helping us out very much. If we're stressed and worried, we might say, why? Why am I feeling this way? Well, at the very root of it, we're not trusting in God to take care of that situation at all. That's why we're turning in on ourselves and trying to calculate and make it work. Do we not believe his promises? We hear them all the time, that he loves us and that he'll care for us and that he'll work all those things out to our good. And yet, it's so easy to get caught up in the worry and the anxiety and the frustration of unbelief. It's a real problem. In fact, Jesus tells us in his Gospels that if we had faith even the size of a mustard seed, this is what he says, that we could say to that mountain, be removed, and it would move. But there's unbelief. There's fear. Is God really going to provide for me? What's going to happen in the future? Is God really going to be there? Is he really going to protect me? Is he going to protect my children? Are we going to be okay? By the way, our Old Testament text talked about the love of money a little bit. The love of money, Jesus says, is the roots of all kinds of evil. Why? Because it's unbelief. Not trusting that God will provide all that we need. We hoard for ourselves so that we can make sure that this paper we believe in is going to provide for us. When you really take a look at unbelief in the world, I think the conclusion that gets drawn is the same conclusion that Jesus' disciples asked him when he said this. He said, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you know what the response to that statement was? They said, Lord, then who could be saved? If we really take a hard look at unbelief, that's, I think, our conclusion could be the same. Who could be saved? Who could actually do this? Well, let's suffice it to say this morning, God has to do it. God has to be the one, the active agent, the decision maker to save us. And here's the good news of the gospel. He has, and he is. I think Jesus may have chosen this camel through the eye of a needle thing on purpose, right? Because there's so many weird stories about that that float around that try to make it more possible than actually trying to shove a live animal through the eye of a sewing needle. That's a pretty tall task, right? There's only one way that it's actually possible to do that. And that's that you'd have to take every single little piece of that camel and you would have to make it small enough like a thread to go through the to go through the eye of a needle. Impossible, we cry. But the scripture says, nothing should be impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. Fact is, like Paul says in Romans 1, God is revealed everywhere in creation, but we can't quite see him in all those places because of the same problem, unbelief. So what do we do? Well, we hear the gospel. And the gospel is that this is not about us trying to get to God. It's not about us trying to figure out how salvation works in our own lives and make it happen. That's not the gospel message. We'll never be able to get the camel if left to ourselves through the eye of a needle, but God certainly could. It's a simple verse that many of us know already. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." Because we can't get across that chasm. We can't go to God on our own. All of our efforts in life are filled with doubt and unbelief. But Jesus didn't ask us to go to him. He came to us. This is the direction of the gospel. The gospel always flows in the matters of salvation from heaven to earth, one directionally. And only because of that is there a prayer that ever goes up. Only because of that is there ever a baptism. Only because of that is there ever faith that springs up and pleases God. From heaven to earth is how it works. And the scriptures tell us this so plainly. Jesus came into our own nature. Did you know he became what you are? Human. He connected divinity to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what happened at Christmas. God Almighty, who could do anything, who nothing is impossible for, connected himself to humanity, that which we share in our bodies and lives. That's Jesus. He's the connecting point. It's amazing. That one-way activity of salvation. And the scriptures will keep talking about it, of course. Ephesians 2 will tell us very plainly, we're saved by, oh, it doesn't say human effort. I mean, sit down with your camel and your needle and let's see how it goes. No, it says for we're saved by grace. That's from heaven. Through faith, that's from heaven. Then it says, just to make the point super clear, not by works. Not from things that go from earth to heaven, but from things that come from heaven to earth. Salvation always flows from heaven to earth, so that, as he also says in our Ephesians text, so that no one can boast. Nobody can say, I did this Christian thing, and you need to. They can't say that. Why can't they say that? Because they didn't do it. God did it by his wonderful love and power. And so we're only receivers of this wonderful and amazing gift. See, the guy that's talking to Abraham in our story, he doesn't understand that. Thinks somebody can go convince and coerce and make it happen. It's the work of God, salvation is. It's an amazing text this morning because we have two characters. We have Lazarus the beggar, and we have the rich man who's clothed in the fine purple. Remember the story? And he's eating these sumptuous meals all day long. And as we read these texts, sometimes they kind of confuse us a little bit because we say, well, I don't really understand what's going on here, because these are earthly images of a heavenly teaching that Jesus is giving to us. And so we can, in the law of this text, start saying, oh boy, well, you know, I actually have some pretty nice purple stuff at home. And I kind of eat pretty good. I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, but I eat pretty good. I don't know about you. And so we can identify with the rich man. And then when we keep reading in that text, right, that's pretty creepy because the rich man ends up in a really, really bad place. So we don't really want to do that. So what do? Well, Jesus is showing us. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to God's gifts, when it comes to all that he has for us in this body and life, we're the beggar. We sit by his gate even this morning with nothing to offer him of ourselves. We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our lives are corrupted with tons of doubt and unbelief. And so we sit as the beggar before God. And what will he do? Will he act like the man in the story? Will he say, oh, I'm not even giving you the scraps from my table? Oh, no, friends. Meet the heart and the person of your Lord Jesus, of your Father in heaven. See who he truly is and hear that gate open as he comes to us this morning with his gifts. And if you walked into this church with a conscience that was bothering you because of something that happened, something that you did or left undone, hear the gate open and hear the Lord's words to you this morning. You are forgiven. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he forgives all your sins right now in this moment, according to his divine power, which he pours out from heaven to earth through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And we cling to that we're forgiven. That means that God smiles on us. At the end of the church service, you know what we'll hear? We'll hear something called the benediction. And the benediction says, literally, the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. When it says shine on you, that's what it's saying. It's the blessing from heaven to earth that when someone's face shines on you, it means they're pleased with you. That isn't up to you and it isn't up to me. Jesus won that for us on the cross, for by grace through faith and not by works, lest nobody should boast. These are gifts that God is pouring out through his word upon all of us. And you know what? Unbelief, when it hears the gospel, doesn't stand a chance. Because we cling to that love and cling to that mercy and cling to that forgiveness all by grace this morning. Because he's opened up the gate to us and fed us from his table. And this shows us who he really is. It shows us that all of our own considerations about who God is based on the circumstances of our lives and the things that have happened aren't right. The truth is, God loves us. He sent his only son, Jesus, for us, and he forgives us all our sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our responses this morning for our prayers are, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of life, you provide us with daily bread in abundance. Lord, preserve us from the worship of idleness and the love of leisure that would cause us to be in unbelief and misuse your gifts to even our own demise. Foster in us instead contentment, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness and gentleness. Lord, and show us that you're delivering all those things to us through your word and your gifts. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. O Lord, as you once gave Moses and the prophets so that people might hear your word, continue to provide pastors and other laborers to make your gospel known among the nations. Preserve those who currently serve within your church and raise up more workers to labor in the harvest, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, preserve our homes from idols, from apathy, from sins of idleness. Bless all fathers and mothers as they teach their children, that generations to come might faithfully guard their hearts and rejoice in all your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you promise to hold accountable all who are in authority over us. Lord, we pray that you'd bless Donald, our president, Jared, our governor, all legislative bodies, all judges and magistrates, and that all who serve the public trust, that they may act with integrity and honor and fulfill their duties and serve causes of peace and justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you open the eyes of the blind. And Lord, by faith, you help us see. Lord, lift up those who are bowed down and hear our prayers on behalf of those in need of your mercy. Especially, Lord, we name before you from the altar this morning, Teresa O'Haver, Cheryl O'Dowd, Betty Patton, Carly Moore, Lord, the Rocky Mountain District of our church, Lauren Belfer, Katie Philly, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, Letha and Tom Hershey, Ellen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Autopolic, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, provide restoration and deliverance according to your good and gracious will, and in the time of affliction that is given to them, strengthen their faith, that they would cling to your promises, that they would praise your name. And Lord, this morning, we also offer a special prayer of thanksgiving for Jairus Yetzi, for the healing and the miraculous healing that you have brought in that situation. Lord, we thank you. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, grant that all who are gathered here today, Lord, who have been blessed to hear your word, including myself, Lord, as your word comes to all of us and gives us what we need and teaches us to trust in you and that you are faithful, Lord, we pray that you'd bless each one of us in the hearing of your word and that you'd embolden all faithful Christians here and scattered throughout the world and that you'd grant them always to make a good confession that trusts in you and shows that you're the one who's out in the world saving and delivering and bringing your perfect gifts, even amidst the troubles that are there, and that one day, Lord, you will come again and bring us all to yourself. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we praise your name for your faithfulness to Abraham, Lazarus, and to all the saints who've gone before us. Enliven us by your word, and that convinced, Lord, of Jesus' death and resurrection, we may eagerly await the day of our resurrection for his sake, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. At this time, we invite our students who are here from our Trinity Lutheran School to come up as we sing our music for you this morning. Come on up, guys. Oh, let's go down here. You're good. Oh, you're good. Yeah, come on up. Come on up here. Oh, excuse me. You probably have places where your teachers told you to be, huh? All right. Are you guys ready? Yeah? Are you a little nervous? Yeah? Don't be nervous. Everybody's super nice and they're excited to hear us sing. Are you guys ready? Woo! Oh, there we go. Woo!
You can do it.
Here we go. You guys know it. Ready? Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry. I or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I may never march in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Good job.
Woo! Y'all did great.
Great, great. Do blind man next. You guys ready for blind man? Yeah? Awesome. Pastor's gonna move this and put his knee up here so he can hold the guitar a little better. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.